Hour number two, Michelle and Junie, welcome in. We are live from Bridgestone Arena this morning. The Pac Arena statue unveiling is going on as we speak. We are encouraging fans. Text us, call us, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Text us, call us. Tell us your favorite Pac Arena story. This day is about honoring him. He's going to have a statue now that'll be in front of Bridgestone Arena. We have Jenny texts in from Nashville. She said, when the Preds swept the Blackhawks in the first round of the playoffs in 2017, Pekka became a hero to all of Nashville. So I think Jenny is not alone on that one. I think that's going to be probably a consensus around the board. And I love our texter earlier who said, when Pekka scored a goal. I think that's awesome.
That's what I was going to think. Yeah, like, you know, not a lot of goalies get goals. But I think Pekka has – did he only have one? I feel like he has maybe had more than one. Maybe. I'm not – positive about that, but I do remember a bunch of guys back when I was in college when that happened, that they were watching in the living room. And when that happened, you know, we had a bunch of Preds fans, especially from Nashville. A lot of Nashville students go up to Western Kentucky for college. They get in state, and when he scored that game, the whole house went nuts.
That was like
one of my, oh, this is hockey. This is what the Nashville Predators are about. This is their main guy. And we're looking up here on the TV screen, too. Look at that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
That crowd, that is insane. I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of people. David Poile about to step on the stage right now to probably get this thing kicked off here. But, wow, what a show out on a Saturday morning.
People got there early too. You know, I saw people get in there around 8:45. I'm sure earlier than that. But if you couldn't make it out to the ceremony today, you can also go on to the Nashville Predators website. They will be streaming it this morning too. So they haven't unveiled the statue yet. It will be streaming on the Preds website right now as well. So if you can't get out to the plaza today, go ahead and just go to the Predators website. They'll have a live stream unveiling that statue. And Texas, call us your favorite Pekka story. We want to hear all of them. He's meant so much to this community and such a special day for him, his family, and the Nashville Predators. But switching over to the other professional team in the town, discussing the Tennessee Titans. And, Junie, when you hosted with me yesterday on Chase and Michelle, we brought up a question to the fan base, and they were very responsive. You know, when you hit on a topic, when you encourage feedback or you say something about a specific player – and you ask Titans fans, how would you feel if the Tennessee Titans drafted Will Levis at 11th overall? And we got answers. We got a lot of polarizing answers. I even tweeted it out on Twitter. And, you know, people as far to go to say, you know, I wouldn't be a fan anymore. I mean, he has been, I personally think, one of the most polarizing figures in this year's draft based off the way people view him. It's either he's going to be a Josh Allen or it's, well, he is like the worst quarterback ever. He's going to, you know, destroy a franchise.
Yeah.
It has become so incredibly polarizing. But Will Levis has been one of those guys who has been regarded as, at some points of the year, one of the top three quarterbacks in the draft. With more mock drafts coming out, he's dropped a bit. Some even have him dropping out of the top 10. The Tennessee Titans are at 11th right now. So, you know, I ask fans, and based off the moves that Rand Carthon has made, they're not flashy. They're not, we're in our Super Bowl, we're going to go for it moves. They're not, we're trading for Mike Evans. They're not, you know, big, aggressive moves that you think, okay, we're pushing, we're going for it. We still got Tannehill. We still got Derrick Henry. They are safe moves. They are short contracts, you know, low guaranteed money, but two positions that need to be filled and adding more depth to those positions on the field. So when I found out that Mike Vrabel was in Lexington for the Kentucky Pro Day yesterday, Junie, It definitely surprised me a little bit because we discussed why it was surprising. When he went to the Ohio State Pro Day, it's not surprising because they have so many guys who are going to be pro prospects. They have so many guys that you go there to check out. It's not just C.J. Stroud. It's, you know, it's linemen. It's defensive backs. It's linebackers. It's wide receivers. There are so many guys that are going to be transitioning to the next level. Whereas Kentucky, I think there were 11 guys, but nobody an elite prospect. Will Levis is the guy that they went there to go see. And more with the reports of him dropping out of the top 10. More and more, I think this team has a new GM. Could they draft a quarterback at 11 and have him sit behind Tannehill for a year? And you think about a new general manager. They want the opportunity to draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
And he turned heads yesterday at Pro Day.
So you laid it out well, and we did discuss this yesterday on the show, but just a continuation for those that didn't hear. Basically what the Titans are doing right now is that they understand that their winning window of opportunity with Tannehill and Henry and this core on offense, at least, is not going to win a championship. That window has closed. So right now the Titans as an organization are going out and filling out their roster, filling out the needs, the positions that we were looking at before free agency hit. And we were like, wow, this team needs a lot. Mm-hmm. They go out and they get a bunch of team-friendly guys, some of which are unproven, not a lot of guaranteed money, not a lot of years on this contract, easily like could move off of if needed to be. So what it kind of shows me and tells me is that they're gearing up for a transition.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask anybody here in Nashville, do you think Ryan Tannehill is going to be the starting quarterback, you know, after this 2023 season? I think majority of people are going to tell you that that is when this team is likely to move on. So right now they are looking for their quarterback. They're looking for their signal caller. And yeah, they went to Ohio State. Yeah, they probably went to Alabama. But there's guys all over the field that they can be looking at. When they show up to Lexington, Kentucky, you know who they're looking at. And that shows you that they're really probably considering taking a guy like that, especially the way that the NFL draft gurus have elevated Anthony Richardson and Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud are already considered to be the perennial number one and number two quarterbacks off the board. Will Levis could be a guy that has a ton of upside that you could get at 11 and sit behind Ryan Tannehill to let him develop a little bit. Personally, I am so sick and tired of fans here locally looking at what people do in college and thinking that they're going to be the exact same player in the pros. Listen, look at the starting quarterbacks that are in the league now. All right, Josh Allen wasn't popping off the page in college.
People were very wrong about him.
Justin Herbert, who's now considered a top five quarterback, wasn't even a top two quarterback out of his draft. So to sit here and say that...
Well, when you got Joe Burrow in your draft class, pretty hard.
Well, and Tua as
and
well.
And Tua, yeah.
And I'm just putting it into perspective. Jalen Hurts, a lot of people didn't think that he would translate into the NFL, and he has.
Took his team to the Super
looking,
Bowl.
I'm looking at a guy like a Will Levis. He's got the athleticism. He's got the confidence. He's got the moxie. He's got the arm talent. He can run over defenders and get a first down. He's tough. He's a leader. And this is coming from a Louisville fan. Like, I grew up in Louisville. I don't like Kentucky. This is a completely unbiased take. And I'm just telling you that they are going to look at his intangibles and say, this is a NFL quarterback right here. And I think that if he were to come to Tennessee and it still have Derrick Henry, and you kind of keep the core on defense, he's going to have a decent roster to set up, and then they can go out and with the limited contracts they have, go get him a receiver, go get him another tight end, kind of beef up that offensive line. And that gives you the flexibility to do that when you have a guy on a rookie contract and you're not paying all these old veterans that are past their prime.
Well, and Junie, you laid it out there pretty nicely of – there are options for this team right now. We've discussed how moving off of Ryan Tannehill next year is a lot easier than moving him off this year. So even if the Tennessee Titans do decide to draft a quarterback in this year's draft, I still think they stay with Tannehill, they allow him to develop for a year, and then move on to the young quarterback that they draft. This year is a very play it safe. We've seen that based off of the moves that Rand Carthon has made. But looking at the Tennessee Titans as a whole, there's an interesting article out there that you brought to my attention that ranks the Tennessee Titans in the bottom five of the NFL's unit grades. in this year's draft. We're going to discuss this all on the other side. You're listening to Michelle and Junie on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. It is that time. They are about to unveil the Pecorine statue in front of Bridgestone right now. Junie and I are inside of Bridgestone, a little jealous that we can't watch it live, but the plaza looks packed. We are watching it on the live stream right now. Pecorine statue in Bridgestone Arena. Such a historic day here in Nashville. We're asking you to text us, call us, and tell us your favorite Pecorine moment all show long. Junie and I will have you covered until noon, and then Max Herz will take over for the pregame coverage starting at noon. Puck drop at 1 p.m. today. The Seattle Kraken are in town. Doubleheader. Beat them on Thursday in overtime, looking to get another win as they get one step closer to a playoff spot. Pretty incredible statue. I mean, it's bronze. It's 800 to 900 pounds. It's about 11 feet tall. Pretty incredible moment, historical moment in front of Bridgestone happening right now. Text us, call us, 615-737-1025. Your favorite Pecorine moments. We're taking them all show long. April from Portland texted in. She is a diehard Preds fan. April said, one, sweep of the Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup run. Two, goalie goal. Three, retirement of his jersey. Four, him throwing the catfish and being the hype man at the stadium series against Tampa. She said her new puppy's names are Rene and Roman. So, aww, love that. April's always been a huge Preds fan.
She is the biggest Preds fan on the text line.
She is.
Die hard. She is always standing by the Preds. And whenever April does text in and she says something critical of the team, I really do take it to heart because, I mean, she really knows her stuff.
She does. But switching back to the Tennessee Titans, Junie, you brought an article to my attention about the Tennessee Titans. And essentially, Mike Clay of the NFL has an algorithm where he goes through each NFL team and he gives each position group a rating out of a 4.0.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a grade point average. And so they go by position, and it's QB, running back, wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, and then on the defensive side, it's your D-line, your edge rushers, linebackers, corners, and safeties. And so it's basically a rating of encompassing all the players in that position group, and the Titans were in the bottom five of all the NFL teams in total rating. I'm looking at their total rating right now, and out of a 4.0, they are a 1.4 on the roster scale. And the only – so, like, basically what I'm looking at here is it's like a chart, and Michelle's tweeting it out right now, so go to Michelle's
Twitter. On the
102.5
The Game account.
On the Game account here. And basically, if it's below a 2.0, it's going to be in the red. If you're around a 2.0, you're in the white. And the more you get above a 2.0, you start getting into the green, which a 4.0 is like a really like green. So the only green scores that the Titans have in their entire position groups is running back with the 3.6, and we know that's because of Derrick Henry. We got a 2.9 on the defensive line. Think that's a little bit low, but you know, obviously, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, T.R. Tart, Danico Autry. That's the reason why that score is as high as it is. And then they go to safety with a 3.8, and we know the reason why that. The mayor of Murfreesboro, Kevin Byard, holding down the fort. You know,
and Amani Hooker.
And Amani Hooker. He's been banged up, but, you know, Kevin Byard is really holding that one down. But I'm looking at some of these scores, like quarterback, a 1.4 rating.
Wow.
On this scale.
And to put that in perspective, the Steelers at quarterback position have a 1.3 with – only Kenny Pickett in his second year.
Unproven, so, yes.
Unproven, but it puts it in some perspective. I mean, the Saints quarterback have a 1.9, so they're giving Derek Carr a 1.9. So some of this is a bit subjective because I think the way that Ryan Tannehill is viewed on the national scale is very much based off of that playoff performance against Cincinnati a couple years ago, because I believe he's a better quarterback than Derek Carr. But, you know, when you get to the teams that are below the Tennessee Titans, it's the Colts who have a top five draft pick. it's the Panthers, who are picking number one overall. They just got a new head coach. They're drafting their quarterback. They are very much in a rebuild mode. The Rams, who are coming off of their Super Bowl run.
Losing all of their veterans,
their big players, but they just won a Super Bowl not too long ago. And the Texans, who were supposed to pick number one overall, but, you know, Bears got it for them. But basically one of the worst teams
so
in the league.
The beauty of it is that two of the four teams below you are in your division.
Exactly.
Which helps you out. But in the meantime, I'm looking at some of these grades, and it's really sad that at wide receiver they got a 0.1 on the scale. Yeah. A 0.1. And same with the offensive line. A 0.1 in a position group. Linebackers, get this one. No David Long Jr., a 0.5.
Wow.
And the linebacker scale. You lose Cunningham and David Long. Now you're looking towards moving to, you know, Monty Rice, Chance Campbell, maybe. It just kind of goes to show and gives you a perspective of and of course, Azeez Alshire, they did just sign from the San Francisco 49ers. But again, you know, he's one of those younger, cheaper guys on the deal that they got, knowing that, you know, if he shows out, you know, he could be a long-term player here. But he's still one of those prove-it level players that didn't get one of those long-term contracts. He's definitely going to have to earn his way here. So it just kind of puts into perspective of really where the Tennessee Titans are, because I keep hearing this narrative like, oh, well, you know, the team wasn't that bad. It was injuries last year. It was this, that, and the other. But look at the amount of players that they cut. Like, yeah, those players had injury issues or stuff in that, but they were still pretty solid players, right? This kind of sets and sinks into reality of what direction this team is going, and that it is likely with the news that they've been shopping at Derrick Henry. They haven't really fully committed to Ryan Tannehill. They have asked Kevin Byard to take a pay cut. We still don't know if they're going to pay Jeffrey Simmons or if they have the funds to do it. This is kind of setting in stone with all of these narratives and everything that we've seen from this team in the offseason that the rebuild is it might already be here, Michelle.
Well, and Junie, too, I think, you know, we talk about the NFL. It's not very hard to quickly rebuild without fully blowing everything up.
Yes.
And the way this team is constructed right now and some of the contracts we've discussed, whether it be Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard. I mean, the reason Kevin Byard's cap hit right now is so high is because they've restructured it so many times, mm-hmm. which isn't his fault. It was they were in a window with John Robinson, and restructuring him allowed them to add guys like Julio Jones and Bud Dupree and Zach Cunningham to amp up this roster because they were in a go-for-it mode.
Definitely.
They were in their window. But, you know, John Robinson gets fired. You don't re-sign A.J. Brown. You've seen what has happened to this roster. And although it might not be we're just selling off anything, we're waving the white flag, because I don't believe you have to do that in the NFL. I think, you know, you get a new general manager. You're making some smart moves right now to get some depth at linebacker. They need to work on the receiving core. We've seen what they've done with the offensive line in this last couple of weeks. But I believe that if they decided to draft a quarterback in this year's draft, they were allowed the quarterback to develop behind Ryan Tannehill and address some of the other positions, whether that be still in free agency, whether that be in the draft. And then you have a year of maybe a 500 year, maybe you're 8-9, maybe you're 7-10. But then if you believe your guy is in this year's draft and you can do that for a year and then continue to build that roster through free agency next year and through the draft next year, you're in a completely different situation and you could be one of the top teams in the AFC again. But I truly believe if the Tennessee Titans believe their quarterback is in this year's draft, you go and get it. Quarterback is the position that every single year you need to be evaluating that position. Just because Mike Vrabel and Tim Kelly went to Kentucky's Pro Day. I'm not saying they're going to draft Will Levis, but if you go there, you do your homework, and you believe that he can be your franchise guy, or you believe that C.J. Stroud can be your franchise guy, I don't think Stroud would – they'd be able to get him, because I think giving off draft picks is – that's what you need right now when you take a look at this organization. But if you believe a Will Levis – is your guy, and he can be a franchise quarterback, and he's available at number 11th overall, I mean, you go get him. Quarterback is the position. It is the one position that can allow you to be in a Super Bowl window every single year. Joe Burrow had the comment this year during the playoffs, and he said, I mean, I'm going to be in a Super Bowl window my entire career. But he's right, Junie.
Yeah, no, he...
When
no.
you find your guy, that is what it allows your team to be in that Super Bowl window. I don't get paid to evaluate quarterbacks. I know what Will Levis was this past year, and it wasn't good. But you mentioned earlier, just because you have a bad year in college football does not equal bust in the NFL.
Yeah.
Does not. The two are not comparable.
And no one's taking those things into consideration. No one's taking his injury, losing his offensive coordinator, losing Wandale Robinson, losing two of his offensive linemen to the draft. You know, there was so much turnover. There was so much awful offensive line play, and he played through injury this past season. I look at what he did the year prior with just a little bit of talent. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't like Kentucky had a stacked roster compared to other SEC teams, and yet they were still a 10-win team and probably had one of the best years in Kentucky football history.
History.
So, and bottom line, Will Levis is the best quarterback to play for the University of Kentucky in the last 20 years. Like, flat out. Kentucky has had decent teams throughout the last 20 years. Here and there, it's been spotty. But the one thing that has, like, kept them back has been the quarterback position. And they had that, and they had a great season. Lost a lot of talent. New system and everything. Dealing with injury, that has to amount to something. And I just think with the traits that Will Levis have, if the Titans think that they can do something with that, draft him, let him sit behind Tannehill. This isn't reaching for a guy just to see what he's got like Malik Willis. This guy is an NFL-level prospect with really good intangibles that it takes to be an elite quarterback in this league.
When we take a look at this roster, there are multiple different position groups that need to be added to and need significant additions, Junie. Two of them being on the offense, the wide receiver group and the tight end group. We'll discuss some of the options the Tennessee Titans have coming up on the other side of Michelle and Junie on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Happy Saturday, Nashville. Welcome in to Michelle and Junie. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle. We are live until noon today. Then we will hand the reins off to Max Herz. He will have pregame starting at noon. And then Preds puck drop at 1 p.m. Live from Bridgestone Arena. Nick Frazier with us as well. He is live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. If you want to watch our beautiful faces streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every day, our stream is presented by Superbook Sportsbook. The Pecorine statue has officially been unveiled out in front of Bridgestone Arena. The plaza was packed for Pekka. There were people all on Broadway, some people on Tootsie's rooftop looking over. Looked like a pretty amazing scene out front of Bridgestone. And throughout the show, we're just asking Predators fans to let us know what your favorite Pecorine story is. This is a very exciting day for the franchise, for the organization. So text us, call us, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But Junie, sticking with the Tennessee Titans, and we talked about this in the last segment of Mike Clay put something out. Mike Clay of the NFL put something out, kind of like a chart, I guess you could say, and we tweeted it out our 102.5 The Game Twitter account. But essentially this chart goes down and categorizes every position and every team in the NFL and gives them a score out of a 4.0. The Tennessee Titans right now are in the bottom five rating every single position group. And I look at some of the lowest position groups being their offensive line and their wide receiver core. The offensive line, we've seen them make changes with Andre Dillard and Brunskill from the 49ers, but they're still an unknown. It's a safe bet, and I think that it definitely will be better than last year's offensive line, but there still is a question mark with offensive line because is Aaron Brewer going to be your center? I would assume because of the $4 million tender they put on him that Aaron Brewer will be your center. I'm assuming Nicholas Petit-Frere will be your right tackle. Andre Dillard will be your left tackle. And then Brunskill will be one of your guards. When you take a look at the draft, I think that you still have to draft a left tackle or right tackle for the future and somebody who can play guard for you.
See, I think guard is more of a critical position right now. You went out and got Andre Dillard kind of on a prove-it deal. You don't just want to sign this guy and then put him on the bench. I think they really do kind of want to see what they have in him because if you can find a guy that has first-round talent, first-round intangibles, really athletic, really long, he's got the frame for a starting left tackle in the league. He just went to Philadelphia, which if you look at the Eagles on this chart and you see where their rankings are, they're the number one team based off position groups, and their offensive line is a perfect 4.0.
Do they have a 4.0?
So is it that Dillard was just a part of a really talented O-line, and he just didn't get his opportunity, and now he can kind of showcase that in Tennessee? So I see more of less what they do in this draft is trying to – help fill out this roster because there's still so many needs that they have to get. You know, number one, like they need help in their defensive back core. They probably should go out and get a corner. You need at least two more tight ends, which one of them I think that they're going to end up signing. Probably, I have a feeling they're going to sign Jeff Swain back. I have no connections or sources on that. I have a feeling they're going to bring him back. Then you want to draft a guy with some upside. So you're going to want to draft guard, corner, tight end, probably a linebacker, maybe an edge rusher as well. But left tackle, I more or less, especially if they were to go the route of the quarterback this year and keep Tannehill and kind of use this as a year for that rookie to sit and learn under him, I think going out and trying to draft and get high-level offensive linemen would come in the following draft. This year, I just don't see a move that the Titans can make in order to turn the tide and be a better team than they were last year. I just don't see this team being better this upcoming season than they were last year. Injuries had a part to do with the derailment. They were 7-3. Almost a lock to make the playoffs, and then the worst collapse that you could have possibly imagined happened. And even though, yes, you got rid of those veterans, part of the reason you slipped up that much was because those veterans got injured. You know, just because you cut them because you don't want to pay them all that money due to injury doesn't mean they weren't still good players that when they were on the field provided a big boost for you. So they're still going to feel that. And unless you hit on a bunch of these cheap free agents, this team is not going to be that good this year. So if they were to go the quarterback route with the 11th overall pick, assuming it would be like an Anthony Richardson or Will Levis, or even drafting a Hendon Hooker in the second round, that's also a possibility. Saving next year when you're still probably going to be in the bottom half of the draft to go out and solidify your offensive line after you go and get your quarterback and keeps you in position to get an elite-level prospect, I think that that's kind of where the Titans need to go. I wouldn't say left tackle right now is a necessity because I truly believe this team wants to evaluate Andre Dillard and what they got in him.
We've got a caller that wants to weigh in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jason wants to weigh in on Will Levis. Morning, Jason. How we doing?
Good morning, guys. I don't know how old you are. If you remember a quarterback named Jeff George at Indianapolis drafted back in the day, he was like Will Levis. All right, he had the big cannon for an arm. He had all the physical attributes, but he was an interception machine. So I think that Levis is pretty much Jeff George 2.0. And there's no way that I want Tennessee. And I'm a Kentucky fan. I live in Franklin. I'm a Kentucky fan, but I'm a Tennessee fan. I want the Titans to stay away from Levis because he is Jeff George 2.0.
How would you feel about a Hendon Hooker before you leave?
He's more athletic. I think there's more upside to him. I think guys like Levis kind of, you know, George had a lot of moxie too. I think their moxie gets in their way. I think they don't learn. They won't put in the hours because they just got, you know, a little too much swagger. So I think there's more upside to Hooker myself.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Jason. So thoughts first.
Okay. I mean, I get it. I get it. The narrative around Will Levis is a turnover machine. But with that being said, I mean, a lot of people are not accounting, and I think, you know, our guest Jack Pilgrim earlier highlighted this as well. Tip balls, drop passes by the receiver that winds up leading to interceptions are also accounted for. And then also his fumble turnovers as well. I mean, poor offensive line play. I just think that the intangibles around him had something to do with it. And I also think that if he were to get drafted to the Titans, being a run-first team is the best friend to any rookie quarterback. And if Derrick Henry's still playing at an elite level by the time that the rookie that they have come in is going to be the starter, then I think that that's going to be a huge boost in kind of slowing down the pressure and the added weight of being the guy that has to go out there and produce in order for this offense to get moving. If you're a young quarterback and you have a guy, an all-time running back like Derrick Henry, still, you know, in that 1,200, 1,300-yard range and still a consistent presence out there, that's going to help them develop to where not everything is lying on their shoulders.
Well, and his comment to Hendon Hooker, I think, you know, still the question mark with him is he's coming off the ACL injury.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, Ram Carthon coming in, that was one of the biggest things he said, is that we do not want to try and draft guys who are injured, point blank. And I know if they were to draft Hendon Hooker in the second round, then he wouldn't have to play this year. It still could be Ryan Tannehill, and he could use this year to develop and be in the system. And Hendon Hooker, just based off covering this Tennessee Volunteers team, I don't know as much about Will Levis, but Hendon Hooker was, you know, people loved him in the locker room. He was a true leader. He was out there at the Senior Bowl participating in some of the drills, even though he was on crutches and still recovering from that ACL injury. So, you know, I think when you look at the two, what would you tell people, Junie, on why Will Levis is regarded so much higher than a guy like Hendon Hooker in the draft? Based off of, I think a lot of people look at their senior years with Tennessee and with Kentucky and think, okay, Hendon Hooker at one point in the college football season was a Heisman candidate, was the favorite for the Heisman. And then, whereas Will Levis, his draft stock looked very high, but the turnovers, the interceptions, and I get the argument of, well, if you're a great quarterback, you have to be able to overcome that. I get that. I really do get that. But when you look at the offensive line play, Jack Pilgrim came on, which I thought was pretty surprising. He said, point blank, Will did not trust his offensive line. He did not trust his offensive coordinator. And he had freshman wide receivers out there to throw to.
Yeah, so
back to your
question about, you know, Hendon Hooker and why Will Levis is kind of unanimously put in front of him when it comes to this whole, you know, draft prospect rankings and such. Will, like, when you're talking about a guy and what he did in college, you know, how many Heismans have we seen fizzle out in the NFL or just not make it in general? I mean, it's every year. Baker Mayfield, Johnny Manziel, you know, Kyler Murray's kind of on the downspin right now because it seems like he can't get his head on straight to, you know, put in the mental aspect of the game. I look at a guy like Hendon Hooker, and your comment about his leadership and what kind of quarterback he is, he's a good locker room guy. I agree with all of this. But let's not forget that he's over the age of 25. You know, he's an older quarterback that really found his groove later on. And when you look at Tennessee's roster, you know, their right tackle, Wright, is going to be a first-round pick. They have other, you know, linemen on their O-line that's going to get drafted as well. You're talking about three or four wide receivers on their team right now, that two of which are going to get drafted this year and two more might get drafted next year. You're talking about Josh Heupel, who is now regarded as one of the best young offensive minds now that he's come in and taken over at Tennessee. I look at the scheme onto which Tennessee plays and the air raid offense and how that impacts a quarterback's numbers compared to a Will Levis, where he doesn't trust his O-line, where Hendon Hooker didn't have to worry about that. He didn't trust his wide receivers, where Hendon Hooker didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, all day back there sometimes.
He didn't trust his OC, like not the way that Hendon Hooker has one of the best young offensive minds in all of college football. You know, we've seen this historically. We've seen quarterbacks that have it all in college. The guys that went to the Ohio States, that went to the Alabamas, that went to these big-time major schools that fizzle out in the NFL because they're so used to having way better talent than the team that they're playing against. Mm-hmm. And when you go to the NFL and you get drafted to a team that doesn't have the best roster, it's hard for these guys to translate. I look at a guy like Will Levis and all the adversity that he had to overcome, and he still has shown that he has the metrics and the intangibles to be a winner, to be a leader, and has the traits that it takes to be an NFL franchise quarterback. That is the difference for me.
Junie, very passionate, a Louisville fan, very high on Will Levis. Let us know your thoughts. How would you feel if the Tennessee Titans decided to use their 11th overall pick and draft a guy like Will Levis? Text us, call us, 615-737-1025. And also, we want to hear all your Pecorine stories on the text line as well. We'll be reading them all show long. We've got you covered up until noon today, and then we'll hand the reins over to Max Herz for the Preds pregame show, puck drop at 1 p.m. You're listening to Michelle and Junie on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome into Michelle and Junie. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle. We are live from Bridgestone Arena right now. The arena is starting to fill up. The Pecorine statue has officially been unveiled. Max Herz came in to say it was just phenomenal. At noon on the pregame show, he will have Scott Wise, the guy who created this Pecorine statue, join him. He is out of Clarksville and also a Predator season ticket holder. So the statue is officially unveiled. You can see a lot of pictures and videos on Twitter right now. The plaza was, in fact, packed for Pecorine Junie. And like we've mentioned all show long, we're taking your favorite stories, your favorite Pekka moments on our phone and text line, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Discussing the Tennessee Titans right now, we're going to reset the conversation about Will Levis. And what would the fan base's temperature be if Rand Carthon, in his first year, decides to use their 11th overall pick on a quarterback, specifically Will Levis, and I'll throw Anthony Richardson in there too. What would the temperature be from this fan base? Would you rather a guy who's an athletic, off-the-chart, pro day king, I guess you could say, kind of that crown at the NFL Combine, or a guy like Will Levis, who some may look at him and think he can be the ceiling of Josh Allen, or he could be a complete bust in the NFL. I think those two would probably be the most polarizing guys in the draft this year, just because they're such big question marks. And after having an NFL draft last year where there was only really one guy who was ready to be an NFL quarterback in Kenny Pickett, who's with the Steelers now, and the other guys that were talked about that could potentially go in the first round, like a Desmond Ridder, a Matt Corral, a Malik Willis, they all dropped significantly to the third round. So, you know, this year, it's clear that there are a lot of teams in the top 10 who are looking to get their quarterback, right? We talk about two within the Tennessee Titans division, and the Texans and the Colts. You have the Panthers trade up the number one overall pick. They're going to draft the quarterback. The Texans at two are going to draft the quarterback. Arizona at three, that's a spot open where they've made it clear they have Kyler Murray. They don't need to draft the quarterback, so I could see a team trying to trade up there. Then you've got the Colts at four. Or the Seahawks at four and the Colts at five? One of them. They're 4 and 5. But, you know, you talk about just in the top 10 how many teams could be trying to reset that quarterback clock. Do you think it is time for the Tennessee Titans to draft their quarterback of the future, have him sit a year under Ryan Tannehill, similar to what Patrick Mahomes did in Kansas City? a year just to, you know, transition into the NFL. It's a huge change. It becomes your entire life. What do you feel, Tennessee Titans fans? 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We had a texter on the text line earlier say, I need to find the text quick. Thoughts on trading back with a team like the Jets and try to pick up a Hooker and a Hyatt to try to recreate that Burrow-Chase combo. That's been something that we've been seeing in the NFL is, you know, guys trying to get the receiver they played with in college. And, I mean, Joe Burrow was very, very high on Ja'Marr Chase, especially after Ja'Marr Chase didn't play his senior year. I mean, it clearly worked out for those two. I think they are a rare combination because Joe Burrow is a franchise guy, a generational, was the clear number one overall pick, and Ja'Marr Chase as well. So, you know, you look at that, and, I mean, I'm not opposed to that. You and I actually have talked about, you know, an option of if the Tennessee Titans are maybe higher on a guy like a Hendon Hooker, trying to trade out of that 11th overall spot and collect some more picks to maybe a team like the Jets who are in a go-for-it mode, or a team, you know, who's looking to get a high-level offensive lineman or even a quarterback, Junie.
So here's what I'll say about that. If the Titans trade back, then they need to get a position of need, in my opinion. I say if they trade back, you go out and get a guy like a Jordan Addison, a wide receiver out of USC, was the wide receiver of the year in college football the year prior when he played at Pitt. I think a guy like that could be somebody if they wanted to trade back. The whole getting Hendon Hooker and Jalin Hyatt, I mean, I just feel like that's the Vols fan and some of these Titans fans that would like to see that happen in particular. I don't necessarily know if Jalin Hyatt's game is going to translate into the NFL. I could be wrong. But he didn't really show a lot of versatility on his route running ability this past year. A lot of his touchdowns were kind of him schematically getting open. It's just something that really interests me was, is the product of Hendon Hooker and Jalin Hyatt and this Tennessee offense a product of Heupel putting them in the right situation in a friendly air raid offense that just inflates the statistics of the quarterback and the receivers on those teams? That's just what I want to know, because when I see a guy like Hendon Hooker, the first quarterback in the NFL that comes to mind to me is Teddy Bridgewater. You know, a guy that is serviceable, he's accurate, the arm talent isn't super elite, the mobility isn't super elite. He's got, like, solid traits to him. You know, there's just nothing that pops off the page to me about a Malik Hooker. I feel like Malik Hooker can be a guy that can be a backup, a bridge quarterback, a guy that can be in the league for a long time and just be one of those consistent presence. But when it comes to drafting quarterbacks, I can't emphasize this enough. You need to look at those elite traits and feel confident enough that you can bring the best out of a quarterback that has those traits and be able to implement them on the field to get a superstar level talent. For me, I just don't see that in Hooker. And when it comes to Jalin Hyatt, I'm just not necessarily sold that he is an like elite NFL caliber receiver. I think if you put him into a wide receiver room with other guys and put him as a two or a three that you can kind of
a speedy scheme slot
around.
Guy?
Yeah, like a guy that doesn't get all the attention by the defense and he can kind of slip through the cracks and make a big play here and there. I see him as that kind of guy, not a guy that's going to be that elite number one overall receiver that's going to consistently make big-time plays.
And we're going to take a look at the quarterbacks in the draft coming up, starting hour number three of Michelle Junie. Who has the highest rating that the Tennessee Titans would be able to get in the draft? I'm throwing off the board C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. Those two are going to go 1 and 2 in the draft, and I can feel pretty confident in saying that. But what do the quarterbacks look like that the Tennessee Titans might actually have a chance of drafting? Coming up next on hour number three of Michelle and Junie on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.